This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We are at the last part of the hadith where we talk about the etiquettes and the ruling relation to following the janazah, اتباع الجنازه. And last time we were talking about the woman following the janazah, and we said that this is an issue of debate between the scholars. The majority of the scholars said it is dislike for women to follow the janazah all the way to the cemetery, even though Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah took the position that it's permissible. But also on the other hand, you have the Ahnaf and the Hanabila said it's not allowed. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ummi Atiyah said, Nahana an ittiba' al-janaizi wa lam ya'zim alayna. He told us not to follow the janazah for women, but he was not very strict about it. And the majority said that that means it is not forbidden. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, who's a Hanbali scholar, said something important, pay attention to it. He said, it is recommended for the person who follow the janazah, أن يكون متخشعاً متفكراً في مآله متعظاً بالموت. That if you walk behind a janazah, the funeral, somebody's dead, to be buried, you have to think about this moment of truth, which is we all gonna die, regardless you're young or old. And you reflect upon that. And you show, basically, with your body language, that you are moved by that. The question, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Abdullah, you just came. Abdullah, before you pray, pray Maghrib or Sunnah? Sallaytin al-Maghrib ma'ana? Okay. So, before you pray your Sunnah, the Imam here saying, if you go to follow the janazah, لازم تظهر الخشوع. He said, you show with your body language that you are moved and thinking about the death. طيب, isn't that showing off? Isn't that like riya? Huh? Yeah, but he said you show with your body, يعني, your body language should be, يعني, you put your head down, you look like sad, you look like, you know, like been moved by the scene. طيب نوريا, طيب, why would you do something you... Huh? Why would we do that, you think? طيب, Abdullah, أبغاك, I want you to look down, close your shoulder and do like this. Yeah, do like this. Put your shoulder like this and do like this. And look down. Okay, now let's do the opposite, Abdullah. Abdullah, خلاص, هتنام علينا. Okay, raise your head up, like shoulder straight, smile, breathe in. How you feel? Good. And like this, what did you feel? Sad, down. You see, that's where your body language actually affect your feeling. So subhanAllah, the way you look, the way you behave, impact how you feel. You see what I'm saying, Abdullah? So when they said you do that, because that brings khushu' actually to the heart. That brings your heart to humble. That brings yourself to focus. That's why I say to these young people, here, when the salah comes, if you do like this and like talking and like Allah, you're never going to be able to focus. That's why when the salah comes, we stand up, we only look down at the place of sujood, we focus, because the way we behave, the way we act, you can't pray, jazakallah khair. It impacts how you focus, how you feel. It is so important. You sit like this, you feel like you want to sleep. Sit down properly when you sit in the class. Okay? So, It is so important to think it, to remember this. So that's why ulama said, rahimahumullah, in the janazah, you do that. You show on your face, you put your, you know, you look like someone who is moved by the scene. And that will, even if your heart is not moved, it will, inshallah. كان ابن مسعود مرة أنكر على رجل إنكار عظيم. It was very mad at a person, laughing and joking in funeral. قاعد يضحك مع الناس. فقال ابن مسعود لا أكلمك أبدا. I will not talk to you again. Was very يعني strict about it. الحسن البصري reprimanded a young man in funeral, was laughing. He said that's not a place for laughing. That's a place for tears. That's a place for fear. Not a place for being careless. Not right when we are in the cemetery, you texting and you checking your Facebook or like, you know, or you posting and you taking. I saw people taking selfie. Like they stop the putting the funeral and he stick like this. And with the janazah, he carrying the janazah and he's like doing selfie. That's not, I'm not making this up. There's people like, you know, it became showing off. Especially if they did someone who's famous, like celebrity, an athlete, or a politician, or a businessman, or a famous sheikh, it became a show up. It's no i'tibar, which is not correct. هل يلزم أن تكون خلفها? Do you have to follow the janazah? قال علي رضي الله عنه المشي خلفها أفضل, to be behind the funeral better. From being ahead of it. قال كفضل الرجل في جماعة على الرجل الفرد. Like the same reward of praying in congregation versus praying by yourself. So if behind it, your ajr is more. Can anybody tell me why? Why the scholar said walk behind the funeral, not in front of it? Yes. To show the respect. What else? طيب, the group ahead. Huh? So you don't delay the janazah, don't restrict it. Now, you know what? I'm going to be in the side. Ya salam alaykum, Abdullah. MashaAllah, متألق اليوم. هجوم, MashaAllah. So Abdullah said, so you reflect, you see it in front of you. Yani, you walk behind the car and you say, one day I will be in that car. One day I will be in that box. One day I will be followed, not following. So that's why al-ulama rahimahullah and the sahaba radiyallahu anhu said that. One of the sunnah, when the body comes, people stand up. So if the janazah brought into the masjid, everybody should stand up, if you can. Or brought, let's say you are in the cemetery, they took the janazah out of the car, let's say somebody sitting, should stand up. On a chair, they stand up. What's the proof for that? In hadith al-sahih fi al-Bukhari Muslim, min hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu an, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, when you see a funeral, a janazah, faqumu, stand up. Faman tabi'aha, whoever followed, fala yajlis hatta tuwda', don't sit until it put in its grave. And Jabir radiyallahu an said, once a funeral passed by, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, qama laha, فقلنا يا رسول الله إنها يهودية. She's a Jewish woman. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إن الموت فزع فإذا رأيتم الجنازة فقوموا. He said, death terrifying. When you see it, stand up. الحديث البخاري ومسلم. Also, one of the etiquettes, also in البخاري, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم stood up and he said, أليست نفسا? Isn't this alive? Isn't this a human soul? He said, so this is a Jew. He stood up. He said, isn't that a Jew? Even if he's not a Muslim, he's still a human being. deserve respect. So he stood up, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ ابْنِ مَسْعُودِ وَقَيْسِ ابْنْ سَعَدْ ابْنِ عُبَادَ. Whenever they see a janaza, they stand up for it in Sahih al-Bukhari. He's saying, like in so many times, even if you tell people, they still don't care. They kind of joke with you and they start like trying to socialize. What's going on? Did you get a job? You know, how's your wife? How's your family? You know, just say, Walaikum As-salam to Allah. Just a small talk and cut it off. Let them feel. Sometimes one person came to me and said, Sheikh, you looked so mean in the janazah. You know, you were like, you didn't even talk to me back. You just cut it short. I said, yeah, I'm in janazah. I'm thinking about myself and thinking about my death. I'm not thinking about you. Like, hey, walaikum as-salam, khalas. I wasn't mean or anything, but he said, you look like upset, he said. That it is sunnah to speed the janazah. Don't make it slow. Don't delay it. So people delay it for talk, for announcements, for reading Quran, okay? For whatever the case is, for talking about the history of this man. No. You know what? Speed is speed. Also, in the car, but don't you any pass the speed limit, but you try to speed. That's why it is a good idea to have what? A police escorter to make sure that you can go fast. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if it is good, you will deliver the person to the goodness that's waiting for him. And if it's bad, you get rid of it from, you don't carry this bad person. And also, it is from the best way that to follow the janazah from where it come from, the hospital or the home, or the morgue, to the masjid where you pray, then to the graveyard. That's the perfect way of following the janazah. But if you can't, you know, if you pray on it in the masjid, inshallah, you will have one qirat, even if you don't follow it to the funeral or you didn't follow it from where it came from. And that's what Ibn al-Munaqqir, rahimahullah, said. And if you follow it until it's buried, you have two qirat. And if you follow it from the hospital to the place of prayer to the funeral, you have two qirat. But these two qirat is greater than the other two qirat of the person who didn't do it. لأن القراريط تتفاوت. Even if it is a mountain, but the mountain itself levels. And النووي رحمه الله said, listen to this. Whoever prayed janazah on the funeral and went ahead of the janazah and stayed in the graveyard, before the janazah moved from the masjid, he will not take the second qirat. He only take one of the salah, but he will not take the one of following the janazah. So he said, you must follow the janazah, not to go ahead of the janazah. And I really don't agree with him, rahimahullah, with this. Why? Because you have witnessed the burial. And that's part of following the janazah. You don't take a full qirat, maybe, but you still participated in the burial and the activity that takes place after the salah. So inshallah, you will get also a qira'. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fadluhu wasi. One of the completion of following the janazah, as you know, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما قال لنا نتبع الجنازة to follow just for marching behind it. لازم في معنى أعظم من ذلك. Which is, it's not about just to show up that day and follow and walk and drive. There is more important than this, which is to make dua, to pray for the person. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم when he buried someone, استغفروا لأخيكم وسلوا له التثبيت فإنه الآن يسأل. Ask Allah to forgive him and ask Allah to give him strength, because when you go to your grave, the angel comes and asks you, what's your religion? who's your prophet and who's your Lord. Based on how much you believe in that, based on how much you practice this, you will be answered. Your answer will be. And so the more you make dua, the more you fulfill the concept of following the janazah. سؤال, هل ورد فضل في حمل النعش أو الجنازة? Is there any reward in carrying the body? You see how people are fighting and carrying the body? I never heard of, I didn't come across any proof that carrying the body has any specific reward. The فضل إنما جاء في اتباعها. The فضل in praying on the janazah and following the janazah. But if you carry it because there is need, let's show the ukhuwa, the brotherhood and the love that you care about the person, so you carry that body. But make sure that you don't, like, come. Sometimes when I carry, some people, I don't do this anymore, people comes to carry and give you an elbow in your face. You know, it became like too aggressive sometimes. There is hadith in the virtue of follow carrying the funeral, the bodies in Tirmidhi, the body in Tirmidhi. Bas ibn Hibban and the Tirmidhi, who reported the hadith, said it's weak. طيب, if you miss salat al-janazah on the person, what do you do? You have two options. Number one, to pray on him before that person's buried. Okay? Number two, that you pray on the person after the person buried in the grave. You stand up in the grave and next to his head, you said, Allahu Akbar, facing the Qibla, and you pray janazah. طيب. If you come to the masjid and the salat al-janazah, you missed some of it, what do you do? طيب, I came and the person is in the last takbir, Allahu Akbar, the last one, and I came. Do I pray Dhuhr first? What do you do? You pray janazah first. You say Allah Akbar. That will be your first one. You have two options. You can say Allahu Akbar with the Imam, and you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. Okay? Then you make the dua. You catch with him. Or you read the Fatiha with him, and when he said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you say Allahu Akbar. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahu Akbar, and you make dua. Because you can make dua as long as the body is still in the masjid and is not moved. And the first one is more beloved to me. Yeah, you finish quickly and you catch up. By the way, لم يثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رفع اليدين في التكبير في صلاة الجنازة. There is no report that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم raised his hand في صلاة الجنازة. When he said Allahu Akbar, there is no any report that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to raise his hand. First takbirah, yes, but like the second, the third, the fourth, what came, he makes takbir, but no one said he raised his hand. Why we raise our hand? Why I just raise my hand? Because Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to do that, and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, among the strictest. The strict, one of the most strict people, he's very strict in following the sunnah. Strict in following the sunnah. من أشد الناس اتباعا للسنة. So we think that because Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did that, he did it only because he saw the Prophet ﷺ did it, and also because there is a general hadith that the Nabi ﷺ used to raise his hand with takbir, even though that's in the salah in general, but we can apply the generality of it also to salat al-janaz. طيب. It is sunnah when you attend the funeral to participate in burying the body. To participate in burying. How? And in most of the places now, you don't really take the shovel and, you know, close the bury, and you put the sand on the grave. But you take maybe with your hand and you throw. طيب, is there any proof that we do three times? ثلاثة حثيات. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في حديث ابن ماجة prayed janazah, then when they bury the person, he came صلى الله عليه وسلم from the head side and he threw the sand three times. He did 3 times. Also, in Nabi saw, and this is Ibn Majah, and also when he prayed janazah on Uthman ibn Mad'un, he also took 3 full hands of dirt and he put it on the head in Dara Qutni. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, when he buried Zayd ibn Thabit, he took 3 handful of sand and he threw it on the grave. Okay? And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah did the same. So he was asked, he said, if you do, it's good. These 2 hadith, hadith Daraqutni ibn Majah, there is debate about the authenticity of them. And I'm not sure if they are authentic. But there is base for this for someone if he does 3. But I don't know any very sound hadith in that regard. Is there any dhikr you say when you throw the sand? What people used to say when you threw the sand? Aisha nas yaqulun minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. This hadith, which is minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra, reported by Imam Ahmad wal Bayhaqi. And Nawawi said it's weak. Ibn al-Mulaqqin, Ibn Hajar said it's very weak. Al-Albani said it is close to be called fabricated mawdu', makdhub ala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it is reported by a man, his name Ubaydullah ibn Zahar, an Ali ibn Yazid al-Alhani, an al-Qasim. And these 3, if they come together in one isnad, Ibn Hibban said, you immediately know that this isnad is fabricated. This hadith is no base. Is made up. So there is no any dua from the sunnah while you are throwing that sand. But you should say, Allahumma thabbit, Allahumma ghafirla. You pray for his forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him thabat. Now. Yeah, Allahumma ghafirla, Allahumma thabbit. La ilaha illallah. I don't know any proof for that. Anyway, one of the things also is very important to pay attention to it. We don't have this in our culture. Madri fi al-Balad al-Arabiya, I don't know if Arab countries they do that. But I know, for example, in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, we don't have this in the Gulf area. We don't have this practice. But I don't know about Palestine, Jordan, Syria. North Africa, I don't know about India and Pakistan. I know in Bangladesh they do that sometimes. Before they bury the person, they uncover the face. And they let people look at his face. So before they put him in the grave, let's see, he's in the box, they uncover it and let people come, everybody comes and look at the face. And look at the people. No, it is a practice of certain culture. Indonesian culture. For Palestine, do you guys do that? For everybody, but only Shaheed they do that. Well, but the Shaheed they uncover. Yeah. So to open the face. For family only or for everybody? Okay. Okay. So the right thing is, Fisuri? We don't do it. Good. The sunnah is for the face to be covered. And only those who want to see his face and to kiss the person or to look at him before he die, they uncover it, then they cover it back. Like Abu Bakr did with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He uncovered the face and he saw the Prophet and he kissed him between his eyes and he covered him again and he said, Rasulullah, you look so perfect, alive or dead. And subhanAllah, one of the time, guys, I have a friend of mine who died. Allah yaghfir lahu yarhamu. I know this guy as the most beautiful smile that you can think of. Yani ana, when I think of this person, he always, I think of him, yamubtasim, smiling. Happy, very happy man. He got cancer, got treatment with chemo. So, you know, with chemo and treatment, his face changed, his body changed. He's like, you can imagine. Then in the funeral, they uncover the face. And they kept it, and I saw him. And obviously, he's not in the best look. We're not like Catholic or Christians that they, you know, they put a makeup and they put like a, what do you call that? Embalm the body with fluid and make it looks like fresh. They make them even better than the life. Okay? So we don't do that. So you're going to see the dead. So why in the world I have to live with this right now? Every time I think of the brother, I think of that last image, which was what? Not a very pleasant, instead of the beautiful one. Why I don't want my kids, for example, to see my face if I die, or if they see your loved one or friends in the worst look. You know, you want them to see you and remember you in the best way, in the best manner. So I'm not very big fan of that. And even Umar, even Abu Bakr, when he did this, who knows, maybe he did it to make sure that he's dead, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he came and he was told, he said, you just want to make sure, and heard Umar said, no, he's not dead, he's coming back. Maybe he just double check. But we don't know, it is like common practice that people just come and, but when you put the person in the grave, you undo. Some people said you can peek to the face to make sure. And I think they do this to make sure that he's really dead. Because many people in the past buried and they're still alive. Many. And my dad, Allah yarhamu, told me a couple of times they hear people in the cemetery knocking, get me out, in the grave. They thought they are dead. And they buried them. And he said many times, there's no more, one or two times. And they have to go take them out. You know, they thought he's dead. Well, that's terrible. By the way, it's not, it is scary. Also, one of the things, we should not occupy the people attending the funeral with lectures, with reminders, with Quran, with khutbah. It just make dua and that's it. Okay? And Nabi Sallallahu said, the angel saying ameen to what you do. Also, when you visit the graveyard, make sure that you follow the proper etiquette. Okay? So one of the proper etiquette, you don't overdress. Have you heard this hadith, Salman? Ya sahib al-subtiyat, you can go. Ya sahib al-subtiyatayn inza'huma. Oh, a man who wearing the shoes, it's called subtiya. Take them off. He was walking between what? The grave. That's why if you notice some people in the graveyard, what they do, they yifsakh al-jazm akramkum Allah, aw al-na'al, they took off the shoes. Have you seen that? People don't walk because of this hadith. But what it seems to be, that a subtiyatayn, it's a very fancy, thick type of shoes. Used to bring, they bring them from Yemen. And the Nabi told them, take it off because it's overdress. This is a time where you don't show like fancy clothes or, so you know what? If you're wearing a tie and fancy clothes, make sure that you leave it in the car and tie, undo it and come just in a regular. It's subhanAllah the opposite of the culture of the non-Muslims where they dress well when they go to the funeral. Also, no makeup for women and so forth. Also, you should not stand on graves and walk on graves, and you should do the dua of entering the graveyard. If a non-Muslim died, you are allowed to attend their funeral and to friends, family members, co-worker, and to give condolences to the family. What you're not allowed to do is to pray for that dead one to go to Jannah or forgiveness or anything like that. But you say, you make dua for their family, okay? And to not to participate in any ritual, any act of worship or any kind of ritual, reading Bibles, reading from the Torah, or you know, being part or lighting candle, let's say a Buddhist die or something like that. You're not allowed to do that. but you be there to support, to show care, to show that you care about the family and the person who passed away. Now, you can, yes. Yeah, you can attend the burial too. Yeah, for any person, even atheist. Yes. No, no proof that black is for death. Nothing like that. Good question. Yeah. Yeah, but just don't overdress like when you go to the mosque, to the funeral, to the graveyard. Also, type showing condolences to the non-Muslims. It's allowed. I remember I went once with a friend of our family. Her grandmother died. So we went to the church, Catholic church, to give our condolences to the family. So the priest there, I told him, the priest happened to be the husband. I said to him, I want to tell you what our Prophet ﷺ told us. He said, what? And Nabi ﷺ told us, when you see someone who's the family of the deceased, you tell them, Inna lillahi ma akhada. Everything belongs to Allah. Whatever he takes, belongs to him. Whatever he gives, belongs to him. Jazakallah. Wa lillahi ma a'ta. See how beautiful this is. Whatever Allah gives or takes, belongs to him. وكل شيء عنده بمقدار. Whatever he gives or takes according to a perfect measurement. It's decreed upon us in a perfect way. فاصبر واحتسب. Be patient and seek reward from Allah. He said, you have to write this to me. And he followed up. He said, that's the most beautiful prayer I ever heard. He was so moved by that. You can say something like this, it is the sunnah, to the person who died. لا يوجد في الإسلام ولا في السنة حاجة اسمها مجالس عزاء واجتماع لقراءة القرآن وختم القرآن ولا فاتحة على روحه ولا البقرة على روحه ولا أي شيء. There is nothing in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ or in Islam called عزاء. Basically, you put up a place or 3 days for condolences in my house or his house, or if you do it, there's no haram. ما في حرمة إذا فعلت لا شيء. This is not from the sunnah. It's not from the sunnah. The Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم never in his time ever anything happened like that. بل كان ابن مسعود يقول, Mas'ud used to say, كنا نعد الاجتماع للعزاء من النياحة على الميت. We used to consider this big gathering for the dead part of the niyaha, niyaha, the weeping, and that's an act which is forbidden in Islam. So sometimes people think that they must do that. You know what? In the masjid, if you gather people, I say it is allowed because it's organized. Because today, life is so busy. Not everybody can attend the funeral. So if you're going to, and you don't want people to come all over the day. So you said people between Maghrib and Isha, Allah yahyikum, whoever comes to give his condolences, we are in this place. That's fine. But if you don't have the money, if you don't have the means, you don't need to think that it is. Also, there is no such thing as reading Fatiha for the deceased, or reading Surah Al-Baqarah, or Yasin, or Khatm Al-Quran, or Qur'ani Khan, or anything like that, or a whole entire Qur'an, we make Khatm. Al-Quran wudu' lil-ahya' la lil-amwat. Al-Quran is for the living one, not for the dead. It is sad. Sometimes when I go to Egypt, I see in the cemetery, nobody, ما في أحد, in the graveyard. Can you imagine the cemetery? They hire someone there and he's reading Quran. Nothing but the graves around him. And those people who hire him, they don't even maybe read Quran themselves. And sometimes there is like funny stories about those who recite or who come to read for the dead. مرة يعني واحد, they brought him to read Quran. And they charge a lot of money, some of them. So they tricked him. They put him in front of everybody. خلو يقرأ. And they give him envelopes, mashallah, big envelopes. So he starts reading. Alhamdulillah, and you're reading, and he's like, and he like looked in the envelope, kido, in the break, he found it all once. He found out they didn't give him yani not even 50% of what he expected. Oh, for the family?
Yeah, for the
I thought you do food on behalf of the deceased. For the family, yes, it's the sunnah to make food for them. Okay. One thing also I want to say, it's important. Because the Nabi said, make food for the Ali Ja'far, because today they lost their loved one. Notice this. The brotherhood and the right of the Muslims is upon you when he's alive and continue until his death. SubhanAllah. The right of your Muslim brother upon you when he's alive all the way to his death. يعني حقوق المسلم تبقى حتى الموت.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي
Yeah, it's wrong. I will end with showing you or telling you how the janazah is prayed according to the four madhahib, so you can understand the difference of madhahib. Okay, Waskar, I said people like, you know, those who read Quran sometimes in these gathering for Aza, or, you know, they read according to how much you pay them. So you pay them a lot of money, they give you all the verse about Jannah and this, you know, paradise and forgiveness. You didn't give them money, or you trick. I was telling them about someone who was tricked with the money, and he starts reading all the verse about hellfire and punishment. Anyway, the four madhahib agreed. Kul, the four madhahib, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali. What are the four madhahib, Umar, we have in Islam? We have the Hanbali, the Shafi'i, the Maliki, the Hanafi. Four schools. All of them agreed that it is sufficient in janaza to do 4 takbira. Allahu Akbar, 4 times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Hanabila only said you can do more than 4, but 4 is sufficient. The Hanabila said you can do 5, you can do 6. Why? Because there is evidence shows that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did more than 4. But the rest of the 3 madhahib don't agree with the Hanabil on that. They said only 4. Okay? Raising your hand with every takbira, that's the Shafi'i and the Hanbali way. The Hanafi and the Maliki said only with the first one, Allahu Akbar. Then after that, you don't raise your hand. And I told you, there is nothing in the Sunnah that Prophet ﷺ reported he did it in Salat al-Janaza. So the ulama said, Innabi prayed janaza so many times. If he raised his hand janaza, it should be reported. But whoever reported the janaza didn't say that he raised it. But the Hanabila and the Shafi'i said, Ibn Umar used to raise his hand, and he's one of the narrator of how the janaza done. So he must show, and Ibn Umar is very strict. He followed the sunnah by yani, exactly. So that's where the difference of opinion came. Dua al-istiftah that you do in the salah is sunnah after the first takbirah in salat al-janaza. And this is the Hanafi madhab. The Maliki. The Hanafi said it is sunnah. Allah Akbar, subhanaka Allah, bihamdika. Okay? The Maliki, the Shafi'i, the Hanbali said it's not allowed. You say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, immediately. There is no dua al-istiftah. Some Hanafi also, like an Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, did that. Why? They said because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never reported that he ever read or said anything before al-Fatiha. He used to say, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. He would read, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he never, it's secret, but they never noticed that the Prophet read anything or he told them to do dua al-istiftah. Also, they said because it should be fast. So dua al-istiftah is not part of it. Reading al-Fatiha in the after the first takbirah is must according to the Shafi'i and the Hanbali. Hanafi and Maliki said it's not wajib. Maliki said it's optional. Hanafi said it's not allowed. The Hanafi, they said, لا تشرع. It's not even sunnah to read al-Fatiha. طيب. Unless you read al-Fatiha with the intention of praising God. That's okay. But to read as a reciting the Quran, they said it's not right. That's the Hanafi's position. طيب. And the Maliki said it's option. It's okay, it's good. But if you missed it, your salah still valid. The Shafi'i and the Hanbali said it's must because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. Then making dua for the deceased is must in the salah, in the end of the salah. Must according to Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki. Al-Hanafiyya said it is option. It is option. Allahu Akbar, the fourth one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Immediately, the Hanafi and the Hanbali said nothing. You say, Allahu Akbar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay? And, or to taslim or on taslim, I'll come to this. The Maliki and the Shafi'i said no. The fourth one, Allahu Akbar. You make a little bit of dua, then you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And it is also on the narration of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. What's their proof? That Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu anhu kabbara ala janaza. He made takbir on janaza for his daughter. And after the fourth one, he stayed as much as he stayed before, making dua for her. And he said that's how the Prophet used to do. So he did after the fourth, made a long dua. Okay? And in one narration he said, فَمَكَثَ سَاعَ. He stayed for a while. Even though we thought he's going to do a fifth or sixth. But he didn't. He said, Allahu Akbar for the fourth one. Then he stayed for a while. He said, he's going to make another takbir, but he didn't. He just say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, left and right. We told him, we never noticed this long pause after the fourth takbirah in the ihram. He said, I didn't make anything from my own. I just still said, or I just did what I have seen the Prophet ﷺ did. Reported by Al-Hakim, and it is authentic narration. That's why it is allowed for you to make dua after the fourth one as well. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. One or two. One, Hanbali and Maliki. Two, Hanafi and Shafi'i. And it looks like there is some a lot of narration from the companions and the successor, they did the two. But I'm not now aware of, and I couldn't remember if it's something from the Prophet ﷺ or not, but I know I'm aware of many of the Sahaba did. So one is good, two is also permissible. طيب, why there is such khilaf bin Hanafi, no Fatiha, you know, at all? Yani, how? Why these difference of opinion came in such a short salah, like, you know, funeral prayer? This is goes back to something, and this is interesting. Al-fuqaha, the Muslim jurists, have a different way of looking at Salat al-Janazah. Yani, tawseefuhum li Salat al-Janazah yakhtalif. They have very different view what Salat al-Janazah is. The first view, which is Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and his followers, they said Salat al-Janazah is not Salah. It's not a prayer. It's a form of dua. قالوا هي ليست صلاة. There is no ruku' and no sujood, nothing in it. So you can't call this salah. That's why you should not read al-Fatiha in it. Because when you make dua, you don't read Quran. For them, it's just a matter of a dua. So that dua, you should not include in it Quran. Unless you do part of the Quran as a part of praising. But Al-Shafi'iyya and the rest, they said, no, it is Salah. And because it's Salah, we should have Al-Fatiha in it. We should say Taslim in it. We should say Tashahud in it. Okay? And they said, it is Salah because of the following reason. Number one, you make Takbir. Guys, ايش تعريف الصلاة? What's the definition of the Salah? You remember? It is something, actions, certain actions. Start with what? With takbir and end with taslim. That's exactly funeral prayer. Start with takbir and end with salamu alaykum, taslim. It's a salah. In janazah, you face the qibla, like any salah. In dua, you don't face the qibla, if it's just dua. Why in janazah, we have to face the qibla? Also, there is imam ahead of everybody else, like any salah. If it's just a dua, the imam can be in the back. But that's not the case. It is also people line up like the way they line up in the salah. Also, you're not allowed to talk when you pray janazah. That's right? If it's just dua, you're allowed to talk. Also, you follow the imam or you don't follow the imam? That's salah. You raise your hand with the takbir. People refer to it as Salatul Janazah. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said. And the Quran referred to it as Salah. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. So these are 9 or 10 points was mentioned by Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah to show you that this is what? This is a Salah. And it's not correct to call it just a dua or a supplication. The next hadith, inshallah, is very beautiful. And I promise you, there is no other hadith that long. I just stretch the first one for several weeks because it has a lot of etiquettes that it's really needed. Like, the rest of the hadith will be very fast as we go move forward. The next hadith قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. متفق عليه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, look at those who are below you, not those who are above you. Because if you do so, it will make you appreciate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes when we just look up, we don't appreciate what we have. You always talk about what you don't have. And I'll tell you something in life. You will never appreciate life unless you start appreciate what you have. And if you don't appreciate what you have, you will never appreciate what you don't have. I'll say that again. If you don't appreciate what you have, you will never appreciate what you don't have. Let's say, you know, Yunus, we got you, we. Ew, we, Alec, you know, what's we? I want PC, PS4. Is that the, huh? What's the top one? What's your favorite game going to be? Huh? Not game, I mean PS4. So I got you Wii, okay? And you said, no, I want PS4. I don't care for this. If you don't care for what you have, if you don't appreciate what you have, even if we get you PS4, you will not appreciate it. Soon, it will be also disregarded. This is very important. Sometimes we do that. We don't appreciate our friends, one another friends, or family, another somebody else. We don't appreciate what we have. So if you don't appreciate what you have, you would never appreciate what you don't have. Learn how to appreciate what you have. طيب سؤال. Why you think Ibn Hajar brought this hadith as a second hadith after the hadith about the right of Muslim upon each Muslim? Can anyone think of a connection? So after he talked about the right of the Muslims, six rights between Muslims upon each other, then he brought this hadith, don't look at those who above you, look at those who below you. Leesh. Yeah, but what's the connection in orders? Why it came right after that hadith? Huh? This is the right of you upon yourself. But there's nothing about the right of those who are below you. What do you think? But it has to do the right of Allah. To be thankful to him. Very good. I never thought about that. In my opinion, Allah Alam, the first hadith establish what? The interaction between each other. If you follow the first hadith, we will come near each other. We'll come very close and we visit one another and I give you salam. And I visit you when you're sick, follow your janaz. It means we're going to be interacting with each other, what? More. Sah? Give you nasiha. You know, we became brotherhood. That brotherhood, when we interact with each other, I'm going to see what you have, and you're going to see what I have, and we're going to be basically that interaction and closeness. He wanted to tell you, yes, when we interact with each other, remember, that doesn't mean that you look with greed, and you don't have an appreciation of what you have because you might now interact with your Muslim brother, because not all Muslims are on the same level. There is somebody more rich, somebody poor. You know, people have a different levels. So he wanted to teach you some of the etiquettes or some of the guidelines that you need when you start interacting with people. That's in my opinion, one maybe of the benefits of having this hadith in this order. But also what Muhammad said makes also good sense. Now there's the right of Allah to be grateful and appreciative of him as well. Thank you. See you inshallah next week.